Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to give you a little history on how Mother's Day came into being celebrated. I don't know if any of you know that or not, but... Pardon me? I'll do that. I will. All right. And Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother after she passed, and her mother's heart was to honor all mothers. So that was in her mother's heart. She was excited about that, but she never got to do it. So her daughter decided that she just wanted to pick up where her mother left off, and she was so impacted by her mother's life that she wanted to honor her. So Anna spearheaded the first Mother's Day service in St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, and I love that. And it was over 100 years ago. So you think about that. President Woodrow Wilson wrote a proclamation that mothers would be celebrated in America, and now mothers are recognized all over the world. Now, not all of them have Mother's Day in May, but mothers are recognized all over the world. So I love this story since it tells us that one person can make a huge difference. Think of that. Sometimes you say, oh, I don't think I can do that because, you know, I'm not qualified. Well, God qualifies the unqualified. That's what he does. You know, and for one person to make a difference, I just love that story. Today, of course, is Mother's Day, a day when we honor our mama. You know, we have many things, and we learned many things from our moms. So here's a couple things that we learn. My mother taught me religion. She used to say things like, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me how to be a contortionist. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about genetics. You are just like your father. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so. That's why. You ever hear that? Because I said so. Well, I don't know if any of you had any mothers like that, but maybe we all had a mother like that. And some of you may recall the vision that God gave me years ago. And I saw Jesus lasso my heart and pull it up to his. You know, it says that God couldn't be everywhere. I have a plate at home that you're shaking your head. You have one too? Okay, it says that mothers couldn't be, God couldn't be everywhere, but he made mothers. So now we know God's presence goes with us wherever we are. However, you know, mothers, he made mothers. So however, God made human beings to have a relationship with him and each other and multiply on this earth. In other words, God wants our heart entangled with his heart. And that's what he wants to do with all of us, not just mothers. He wants all of our hearts entangled with his heart. That's what it's all about. We are called, and these are things that a mother is called to do. She's called to lead, guide, and direct the children to know the love of Jesus. We must be an example of God's love for them in order for them to get to know that their Heavenly Father. We are called to love our children, care for them, nurture them, be affectionate with them, meet their needs, and be tender towards them. Psalms 127, 3-5 says that children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says we are to be available for them, always be available for them. Ephesians 6:4 says we are to be involved with their interacting, discussing, thinking, and processing life together. We are to be involved in that. We are to teach them scriptures. We are to help our children to develop skills and develop and discover his or her strengths. I remember when my brother was little, every Christmas, my dad would buy him a truck or cars or something. And by gum, he would just take them all apart. And I knew my dad was going to have a fit again because, and I'm like, Jim, please, if you get any cars or trucks, please don't take them apart. You know, but he would do it every Christmas. Well, guess what he turned out to be? A mechanic. Yeah. So, you know, watch your grandchildren, watch your children, you know, and see what they are really interested in. You may be surprised that God has already given them a gift, and he's starting to develop that. And then Proverbs 13:24 says, we are to discipline them lovingly and firmly. I remember when my daughter, she would get into a lot of trouble, and, you know, I'd be like, okay, bend over. And she'd say, one, mommy, just one, just one. And I could hardly do it, you know, because just one, mommy, you know. And so we can't tell them not to steal from others when we are stealing secretly. So tell them what you do. Do what you say. Not this business of, well, you need to do this, but you're showing them another way. That is really difficult. Children do what you do, not what you say. Years ago, when I was going through a divorce in my first marriage, my son was 9 years old, and he had been diagnosed with severe scoliosis. During this time, he said, Mom, we sure don't have a lot of money, but we got a lot of love. And that really blessed my heart that he recognized the love that was there. And recently, he thanked me for just teaching him about God's love. And not just teaching him about God's love, but showing it in the hard times. You know, we still have our children, and we need to show them God's love, but we need to show them our love for God. A mother's love sets the standard for her children when they are going through hard times. Now think about that. A mother's love sets the standard. There was a woman who had a little girl in a grocery cart. And the little girl kept crying. And since she wanted out of the cart, you know, you ever hear or see any of that going on, like at Walmart or Giant or any of them? Well, her mother kept saying things like, calm down, Ellen. It's going to be all right, Ellen. We'll soon be done, Ellen. And some of the employees heard her saying that. And they were really impressed with that. And they said, oh, you just did so good with your daughter. And she said, I wasn't talking to my little girl. I was talking to me. I'm Ellen. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. To know the word that sustains the weary. She didn't go off in that store over her daughter. And I've seen some people that have said some awful stuff to their kids. You know, and I'm like, I feel like, Lord, I just pray for them. I don't go over to them, but I do pray for them. Mothers wear many kinds of hats. They are nurses, chefs, referees, chauffeurs, lawyers, housekeepers, teachers, personal stylists, bankers, and the list goes on. Event planners, photographers, and counselors. How about that? Did you ever think of yourself that way? No wonder moms have their times of weariness. But the only way to get rid of the weariness is to pray for your children. And we always pray for our kids. I don't care how old they are. We pray for them. So here are some questions to think about. Are you going after God's heart, or are you living to and for yourself? Are you captured by the hard trials in your life and feeling weary, or are you captivated by God's heart for you? Sometimes we're so captivated in the hard situations, the hard times. God wants us to be captivated by his heart for us. Proverbs 31:25 says, and this is in the Passion Translation, bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Perhaps God has given you dreams and visions and promises that you haven't seen come forth. Are you bitter or have you decided to be better? See, we get to have choice. We get to decide. When we're going through really hard challenges, and many of us have gone through hard challenges, but are we going to come out better or are we going to come out bitter? And I'll tell you what, always I have to make that choice to say, no, I'm going to be better. I know that God is with me, and I know he's going to get me through this, and I know that there is a light at the end of this tunnel. I know God loves me. See, that's what we have to take a hold of, and that's what we teach our children to take a hold of in the hard times, in those hard challenges. Psalms 92:10 says, your anointing has made me strong and mighty. Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. I'm going to repeat that. I love this scripture. Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. And we know triumph is saying that we have the victory, just like that song. We have the victory. We are not victims. We have the victory because of what Jesus did on the cross. Fresh oil is the Holy Spirit. We have fresh oil, the Holy Spirit. We all have, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you all have the Holy Spirit within you. You need somebody to talk to that's going to answer you back, the Holy Spirit. You have questions in your heart and in your mind. You have doubt and fear and worry. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He'll talk to you. And as I was seeking the Lord for this message, I heard the word barren. We know there are women who are not able to have children, and are not only barren in their womb, but they are barren in their heart and mind because the pain is so great. Then there are mothers who are experiencing the emptiness syndrome. I remember that time. That was terrible. I was used to my kids being at home. I think every one of us can remember that. Oh, my goodness. I thought I was going to end up in a ward somewhere. You know, it's like, I want my kids. You know, and it was really hard. But what about mothers who are in pain in their heart because their children want nothing to do with them, and some have not seen their children for many years? Those situations are going on, and that's really sad. I am so thankful I see my kids. So let's talk about what the word barren means. First of all, the first meaning we all know is not reproducing, but the second is not productive or fruitless. The third is devoid or lack of excitement. There are many mothers out there that have that lack of excitement. The fourth is lacking interest, and the fifth is lacking inspiration or ideas. You know where you get your inspiration? The Holy Spirit. Ask him. You know where you get your encouragement? The Holy Spirit. I need encouragement. I say, Lord, I need encouragement today. And he does it. I'm always amazed. You know, I get all excited and I'm like, wow, God, you did it again. So we may not have any women in this church that are barren in their womb. But what about precious women and men that are lacking excitement and allowing God to lead them into his plan and purpose? They're lacking excitement. They're lacking the plan that God has for them, the purpose that he has for them. So I want to talk about a woman that is in 1 Samuel, and her name is Hannah. And her name meant favor and grace in the Hebrew, Elkanah. She was the first and favorite wife of Elkanah. He was a godly man, but he followed the common custom of polygamy. Hannah was married 10 years without children. When Elkanah married his second wife, who bore several children, and grieved Hannah with her cruel words. So it was bad enough that Hannah could not have children, didn't have any children, was barren. But then she had Peninnah, who was there, always saying something cruel to her. But in the process, Hannah had an inner serenity in which her moods reflected God's light. It's hard to be around somebody who's nasty. But are you going to be nasty back? Or are you going to have that inner serenity, that peace, and just pray for them and choose to forgive? You know, years ago, I learned that as soon as somebody says something to me that's insensitive, I go to God. And I choose to forgive right away. I don't feel like it. Do we always feel like it? No, we don't. And I didn't feel like it many times. But I would go before the Lord and I'd say, I choose to forgive. And then I'd say, heal my heart. Because it hurt my heart. And I'm sure that Hannah was hurt over and over and over again. But she is a beautiful example of how the most unpleasant circumstances can produce a character that is blessing the world. Because of her rest in her spirit with the Lord, she had a patience that God was pleased with. We have patience inside, don't we? But many times we don't recognize the patience, and that's the problem. We pray for patience, and God is saying, you got it. You have it. Patience is inside of you. But you're not recognizing it. I remember the first time he told me that. I was praying for patience, praying for patience, praying for patience. And then he said, you have it inside. You already have patience. Recognize it.
Amen.
I'm glad I heard that. Amen. One day I was going through a situation and God said, patience is the key that unlocks the door to my heart. Patience is the key. Patience unlocks the door to God's heart. I love that. When he spoke that to me, I have always taken that inside of me and just continually know that he is here with me. Hannah loved the Lord, and she cried out to him, and she cried out to him for the grace to bear her sorrow. Do we cry out for grace to bear the sorrow, the pain, the hurt? She didn't let anger, bitterness, resentment, or unforgiveness, or self-pity take a hold of her. How many times are we pitying ourselves? I remember one time the Lord told me to get out of the self-pity and go to his praise party, because I was in a self-pity party. You ever been in a self-pity party? Right? He wants us out of that and into his praise party. And as soon as I started praising and worshiping God, I got out of that self-pity party. And because of her godliness, devotion, trust, and patience and sacrifice, she became blessed of the Lord, and after many years, he gave her Samuel, whom she taught a relationship with the Lord. That's who she promised. She promised God, you give me a child, and I'll give him back to you. That's a lot of times we dedicate our children. I think most of us have dedicated our children because we're giving them back to the Lord. We are saying, they are yours. Thank you for the blessing that you've given us. But here, we're giving these children to you. We're going to raise them with the admonition of the Lord. We're going to raise them the way that you want us to raise them. As I said, it isn't easy to listen to nasty words over and over and over again. But Penina had the nasty words, and she was the one who had the sons and the daughters. So think of that. She wasn't satisfied. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all these riches and all this stuff that's going on here in the world and be as miserable and angry and bitter as anything. I always love watching Little House on the Prairie, because they didn't have much, but they had a lot of love. And that is the greatest thing that we have been given by our God, is his love for us. That he loves us so much. And see, we need to really grab a hold of that. And I don't know how many times in almost 8 years I have talked about God's love. Because we need to really grasp that. And know that he loves us and with an everlasting love. He doesn't just love us when we're behaving. We're not perfect. And we're not going to be perfect. Because we got that flesh to deal with. But the more that we declare God's word, the more we get into his word and start declaring his word over ourselves and over our families, you're going to see changes. I saw a lot of changes that I'm seeing more and more in my family, and I just praise God for what I'm seeing. We don't give up, do we? We're soldiers in the army of God. That's who we are. Hannah had a sorrowful heart, but she had made a vow to God that she would give her baby back to him. So in 1 Samuel 1:14, Eli, she's in the church, she's praying, she's really so down in her spirit, and Eli, the priest, picks it up that she's drunk. Now, not only has she been dealing with a nasty woman, but now she's dealing with accusations. You ever deal with accusations? Somebody says something about you, and then you hear it. They go around gossiping. That's something I don't hear in here, and I hope I don't, because I don't like gossip. God doesn't like gossip, because gossip hurts people. Eli's hasty and sensitive conclusions added more to her sorrow. Think of this. Instead of Eli jumping to conclusions on Hannah, what would he have been if he would have asked the Lord first? He's a priest. He didn't say, Lord, what's going on with this lady? I'm not going to jump over there real quick to somebody and start accusing you. You've never heard me say that. I don't do that. I'm going to say, Lord, what's going on in their heart? What's wrong? What's happening? He didn't do that. But what would have happened if he would have? She wouldn't have gone through all that. He needed spiritual discernment, and every one of us needs spiritual discernment, don't we? It's important. You might think something about somebody, but that might not even be true at all. And so we don't want to be accusing anybody of anything. She respected Eli, and she didn't tell him off, and she didn't get angry at him. There again, she had a sensitive heart of God. Those are the things that change in us. The closer we walk with God, he shows us all of this. Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do you pour out your soul before the Lord? I do. I pour out my soul. When I'm happy, when I'm sad, I'm always talking to him. I'm talking to him when I'm driving. I go to Lancaster, I talk to him the whole way down. He's great. You know, it's great to be with him. She said, "Regard not your handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of my great complaint and bitter provocation I have been speaking." She is so down. She poured out her heart to Eli, and he saw that she had an intense desire for a child. Now he gets it. Now he sees, oh, that's what's going on. Go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant you your petition. And she went away content. Why? Because she believed. She believed what he said. And now he has spiritual discernment, and he has heard from God. She had a turnaround in Eli, and she saw it. I pray for turnarounds in people that are nasty. People that are just into things that they shouldn't be in. I pray all the time, Lord, turn them around to you. Turn them around to you. Lord, change their heart. That's what we want to do. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are not saved. There's a lot of people out there that have been wounded and hurt in the church, sadly, and in their families. And it's sad. But are we going to judge them and criticize them, or are we going to pray for them? Pray for them. You get a thought of judgment, pray right away. I remember a situation in a church that we used to attend. And the Lord showed me some things about this person. And right away, as I had this thought of judgment, that's what the enemy wanted to do. He wanted me to judge her. And just as that thought came in, I heard God say, "You judge, I won't show you the heart." You realize that's pretty powerful. And that's very strong. You judge, and I won't show you their heart. How many times have we judged others? Through our natural eyes and not our spiritual eyes. I remember telling the Lord that I was really upset with a person. And I said, "This person's arrogant." And you know, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "No, it's not arrogance. It's ignorance." That's a big difference, isn't it? Ignorance. Yeah. And that changed my heart to that person. So what do we learn from this story? What is the whole lesson of all this today? First of all, the heart of God is a comforting retreat for a sorrowful heart. The heart of God is a comforting retreat for a sorrowful soul. Hannah carried her trial and yearning to God in prayer daily. She did it every day. Every day she would carry that heart to her, to God. We learn not to be hasty in our conclusions, right? We're not to be hasty in our conclusions. Too often we wrong others by misinterpreting their motives. Eli saw through his natural eyes and not spiritual because he didn't ask the Lord what was wrong with Hannah. And from Peninnah, we learn how a thoughtless, unloving word of ours can give sorrow to others. It's so necessary to guard our tongues. Sometimes it just comes flying out. Now, if you're having trouble like that, you just need to talk to the Lord about it. Peninnah was a heartless, bitter woman full of envy and jealousy, and the enemy was able to use her tongue to lash out at Hannah. Catch those two words, envy and jealousy. You know, it's called the green-eyed monster. God is not calling us to be envious of anybody or jealous of anyone. Hannah did not let it take hold of her because her relationship was strong in the Lord. And that is the only way that you're not going to allow jealousy, bitterness, resentment, all that to take over. is because your relationship is close to the Lord. Just like we had that song, breathe. I'm desperate for you. I want more of you. You know, this is the whole thing. Do you want more of him? Do you want to live the life that God has for you? Who is he in you and through you? And who are you? Who is he? Although the Lord had shut up her womb, her heart was still open towards God. And that's another thing. Maybe you've had a lot of prayers that haven't been answered. I still have a lot of prayers yet that still haven't been answered. But am I going to be bitter? Am I going to be angry at God? No, because he has a timing. And he may not answer the way I want it. That's another thing. We don't always get the answer that we want, but we'll get the answer that is the best answer from God. Because he knows best for us better than we know ourselves. And Hannah learned that it's God who makes our life complete. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the sovereign God. And so the question is, are you going after God's heart? Or are you living to and for yourself? Are you captured by the hard trials in your life? Are you captivated? What are you captivated by? Are you captivated by God's heart? I have taken a hold of his heart. You have sorrow inside? Hand it over. Keep giving it over and over and over. God will heal and he will restore. I want to end this with a mother's prayer. If I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have not love, I am a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. I remember those days. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, and then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there is much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. And that's written by someone, but they don't know who it is. It's an unknown author. But I love that. The greatest, and what's the Bible say? The greatest is love. Love. And so, Father, we just praise you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of love, that you have given us so much love. Lord, I pray that your love will permeate through this time, this week. Each one and their families get together with their families, whatever they're doing today, that love will permeate their hearts, Lord. I thank you, Father, that nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, Lord, that you are our teacher, that you are always there showing us things that need to change in our life, where we need to grow. You're always there helping us, Lord. And we're just so grateful. We thank you, Lord, that you are the rear guard to protect us, that the angel of the Lord is encamped around us, that you have pitched a tent and you are resting with us. Thank you, Lord, that you've already walked our journey, that you're way ahead of us. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious. because we know that you've already got it worked out. But most of all, you are within us. And we are so grateful that you are in us and through us. And so as you hold out your hands, I speak favor upon favor, mercy upon mercy, blessings upon blessings, and grace upon grace. In Jesus' name, amen.